Lump Hope Radio.
Like men. We aspired to intelligence. We didn't belittle it. It didn't make us feel inferior. We didn't identify ourselves by who we voted for in the last election, and we didn't care so easy. We were able to be all these things and do all these things because we were informed by great men, men who were revered. First step in solving any problem is recognizing there is one. America is not the greatest country in the world anymore.
Enough? All right, welcome to another edition of A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America. I'm your co-host, Issa, and Cal will be your host tonight. So, we got to welcome our guest, Zen Gardner.
To our professional show.
Yes, to our professional show. Cal's going to take the reins from now on. I'm going to take a back seat. I'm going to be driving this bus.
No, you'll be back a back seat driver.
That's right. And Cal's going to be driving this right into the Potomac River. No.
No, I don't like the Potomac River.
Okay. All right.
There's too many silver dollars there.
We have a guest that we brought on a couple of weeks ago, Zen Gardner. He's coming on tonight with us. You know, and with the state of our current nation being in utter chaos with the individuals that are supposed to be working for us and our interest only creating false flags and distractions, while the CYA... and sit back on their fat wallets as they destroy everything America used to stand for down the toilet. America used to be something to be proud of. Then other nations used to respect and fear us. But not anymore. The baboons in Washington have turned it into a three-ring circus. Circus and bread and a jerk.
That's why you fit in.
Exactly. Almost like they were wanting us to be back under the control of the British. Since being politically correct is not mine or Cal's style.
Actually, technically, right now you're better off being British. Just
yeah, it's true.
Everybody,
I guess
swim
we're
back.
Try to
swim back.
I'm going across the pond. I'm going. I'm done. I'm out of here. So Cal and I thought we'd try a little feng shui, a little Zen vibe tonight. So joining us tonight, Mr. Zen Gardner. He's going to talk about the state of current affairs and his program to navigate the garden of questions.
Okay, I've actually got one question right off the bat.
You're getting ready to take over the show. I'm going to sit back and push buttons.
See, there you go, interrupting me again.
I apologize, but
Back of the bus. Back of the bus.
Can I finish first? No. Then I get in the back of the bus like a good boy. Okay? I promise, Daddy, I'd be a good boy. I'd be a real good boy tonight.
Yeah.
I want to do.
I think I'm going to end this show with a bunch of spit wads in the back of my head.
Anyway, so Mr. Gardner is going to talk about the state of current affairs and his program to navigate the garden of questions, quests, and guides. Woo, that's a mouthful. Into a maze of false truth that... and what might be between and beyond our wandering minds and spirits. Zen, thanks for joining us again tonight. It's a pleasure.
Same here, you guys. Great to be back. You guys are a blast.
We try to be. We try.
Yeah,
Naked Free Zone, Caleb.
It took me a few years to get Issa a sense of humor, but I saved up real good.
He invested his whole few. He cashed in the 401k on that one.
So sold some property. Sold my daughter off to slavery, you know.
Yeah.
All right, Zen. Now,
hey,
I only ask this because, I mean, honestly, Zen Gardner, that's kind of, okay, I'll just tell you this. I went to high school with a guy whose real name was Party Hardy. His parents, his last name was Hardy, and his parents named him Party. So, I just have to ask. You don't have to divulge the real part, but is your real name Zen Gardner?
Ah, the real name issue.
No, just yes or no. I don't need to know any more than that.
What is anybody's real name? Is it the one in capital letters on your birth certificate?
No, mine's actually three digits and two digits and then three digits, four digits.
Zen Gardner is my acquired name.
Awesome.
There's a long story to it, but yes. That's what it is.
If you would like to share that story, we would love to hear it.
Okay. In my early awakening when I was in university, upstate New York, I had my first awakening. I'm from the hippie generation, so-called, although that term is kind of weird.
Well, let's just clarify for our listeners. It's not the modern hippie generation. It's the original hippie generation, because there is a huge difference.
Yeah, we're talking vintage here.
Yes.
And I was actually at Woodstock, and I do sign autographs, but I went through that whole transition, and part of my awakening was through psychedelic experiences and exploring mysticism, which really changed the course of my life. I've always been into philosophy, and I like to read, I like to write, but things took on new dimensions, and I wanted to find the truth. I wanted to find, is there a God? What is going on in this universe? Why am I here? Which really should be the first questions anybody should be encouraged to address as they're growing up. If you don't answer those questions, what the hell is your life based on?
Right.
So, which of course, modern education only gives you programming and dumbed down baloney. But anyway, so and what I would do, and I would spend a lot of time out in nature as I was going through this transition, and I went from being a really outgoing, bubbly personality to a very introspective and quiet person as I was pondering these major questions, having just awoken out of being raised in Westchester, New York, in suburbia, and inside that, military-industrial complex that our whole generation was, made aware of at that stage, which is why people hear that word quite a bit, although it was brought up by Eisenhower, who also was part of it.
Yay!
But we'll talk about PSYOPs later, I guess. It's pretty much all PSYOPs. You can default to it. It's all PSYOPs.
Now, here's the thing. We've had Ole. Ole's a good friend of yours as well. And Ole does an excellent job. If nobody's had an opportunity to see any of his YouTube videos, I suggest that you do it. But he does a really good job of talking about more European psyops, if you would. Which, I mean, they just tie in with what's going on in America. You tend to deal more with the American side, correct?
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd categorize it that way, but being American, I guess that would be my natural inclination. I grew up having grown up in it, so that's probably right. The case.
So when what era would you say, in your opinion, since obviously you carry your age very well, I might add, but since you have been around longer than, well, me and Loki, you and Cal are probably about the same age, how far back would you say the beginning of the psyops and the state of our country where we're at right now with the deception and the taking control? How far back? When did that start?
Wow, that's a whopper. I mean, you can go to way back to Babylon if you want, or before that.
No, just the 239 years of America, please.
Well, its inception, as you know, is very much in question, and whether we actually broke fully from England or not is another issue. But mm-hmm. I would say in the late 1800s, it really stepped up, I think, with the introduction, well, the promotion, the heavy-duty promotion of Zionism, which they circulated through the churches, laid its foundation, later to be, brought into full light by the way they manipulated the world wars to create occupied Palestine. But that was the first part of it. And as you know, in 1917, with the creation of the Fed, which at the same time they started income tax under the same dupe, Wilson, those were major turning points. But I see the social engineering, having researched it quite a bit. As you know, it began in Europe in the 1600s, 1700s, and then the Illuminati was formed, and the Freemasonry and all that woven into it. But they started blatantly setting up institutes and clubs and secret societies that were designing the future of society, as which was obviously going to be reaching its culmination in America, at least as far as the military and scientific side, after they transferred it over from Nazi Germany. But the those social engineering patterns set up way back Rothschilds and the Rockefellers, right through their families, eugenics, all of these things were conceived and begun to be implemented as far back as the 1700s. And the, as you probably know, eugenics was a very, very in thing in the States prior to World War II, when Hitler made it unpopular. Yep. But as you know, it's a full-blown program in full swing. But I'm just going back a bit, because these patterns resurface in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, prior to when they really kick off in the 50s, when the scientific world went completely bonkers. And who knows where they got some of this advanced technology, but it takes off like a rocket, literally. The advances just seem to have come out of the blue, and then everything's accelerated at almost hyperspeed, till now we're approaching what they call the singularity.
Right, and everybody has a theory on that it's been reverse engineering from Roswell and stuff like that.
Yeah, and wherever it came from, I mean, there is very interesting and pretty compelling research done in those areas. But whichever, this is what we're faced with, and this is our reality, and people need to wake up to it, see it for what it is, if they haven't already, which is pitiful for those who haven't, because this storm's going to knock them flat.
With everything that's come true from Gene Roddenberry, do you think he's from the future? Because I do. I mean, I think he was in our future, came back and wrote all these stories, and now we're developing. I mean, we got tricorders, we got pretty much everything that was on the original Star Trek, except for the teleporter. But I do hear that they are working on that.
Oh, they supposedly already have those.
Right. I heard they teleported a tomato, but it came out as tomato soup at the other side.
John Kerry's wife, Mrs. Hines, was behind that.
The ketchup queen, yes. Now, yes. Then, with everything that you're into and all your blog and everything, I know you've been asked this on a lot of shows. In fact, I've watched some like Red Ice Creation and stuff like that. But for our listeners, I would just like you to, I guess, reiterate how you got started in this. What brought you into this?
Okay, well, now that's way too, I can answer your first question. So I was, when I had this wake up and I realized all I cared about was finding the truth, this became my life mission. And being, I guess you'd call it idealistic or what have you, I, like many of my generation, just took off and decided to do anything we could to find out what this truth was. And this is back in the days of Jack Kerouac with books like On the Road and Ken Kesey and some of these mythical stories that you know, the beginnings of the Bob Dylan stuff. And
yeah. Henry's Game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then along with this was a lot of these deep thinkers like Krishnamurti and Alan Watts and who's the Robert Heinlein, his famous book. What's that called? Rock. Stranger in a Strange Land. These were like Bibles to our generation. And then there's Hermann Hesse, his works. These were like, became like scripture, or the things that were the only things available to us at the time to sort of find a spiritual landscape in which to develop our spirituality, call it. And as you know, all of this got hijacked massively when the heavy-duty drugs got introduced and were proliferated by the CIA, and then all the social engineering that got involved, and the mind control techniques. It's a pretty weird story, but and anybody this is new to, please research it. But I made this dedication. I kind of wandered out of college, much to my PhD father's chagrin, and headed to.
I have that problem with my mother.
And
I'm okay. I don't have that issue.
I'm
good.
I have 2 degrees, and they're not good enough for my mom. So yeah. I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, exactly. It's insatiable, that whole mindset. But so I headed out to the West Coast and was meeting all kinds of cool people. And this was a big deal for a kid raised in suburbia who was really so wet behind his ears and unworldly savvy and so unprepared. But I knew it, and I knew I just needed to get out there and experience and see where life took me. And I was in California for a bit. Going back to college is when I used to wander the forest, having these different thoughts and going through things. I wasn't a heavy drug taker. I was pretty much launched into all this, and it just sort of changed my mindset. And I studied and learned and did some meditation and things like that. But
and a few acid trips.
Yeah, a few acid trips. And but I wasn't a heavy user, I guess you'd say. That wasn't the point, though, because
you didn't inhale, right? You didn't inhale.
You okay. Just smelled it.
Yeah.
You just passed it and just did a as it went by. Right?
Smelled the coffee. Excuse me.
I'm with you there, Zen. My forest to me was I was always in the garage. That's where I did my thinking, working on cars, tinkering with stuff. So I follow you on that.
I was
busy taking animals apart.
People think that there's they have this idea of meditation, but you know, your life is your meditation. It's what you do. And when you're focused on it, like you're saying, Kyle, he's you're in this world of concentration and other things are going on, and you get a lot of realizations. Excuse me, just getting cold here. So anyway, it came to me because I was a big the book Siddhartha, the story of Buddha, really affected my life. And I used to imagine myself walking through the woods, and I had this staff, and I'm kind of maybe in a robe or something, but I knew I had the license for my realizations that I could do anything I wanted to with this staff. It's, imagine a large, heavy staff. That we have this majesty of free will. And we can choose, and anything's available to us. There's not really things that are going to be preventing you, you know, except societal structures and all that stuff. But, and I realized, and I knew then, I choose love. I choose to do good with this. I'm going to use this, and I would literally take a branch, and you know, I was one of the original tree huggers. I didn't even know there was such a term, but I loved nature, and I would trim tree, you know, dead branches, and I'd knock rocks off the path. I still do this. And my ex-wife used to make.
Did you run around to neighborhoods that had bad kids and take that branch and wear their backsides out in the woodshed? Because we could use one of those people in today's age, to be honest with you.
Yeah, the country would be in a different direction, most likely.
I think we would.
Yeah. But anyway, it was during that time I was very much into Zen Buddhism as its teachings. I think a lot from Alan Watts and Krishnamurti's teachings. But it was I thought of the name one day, Zen Gardener. Zen was very much of how I saw life, how I was integrating these different spiritual understandings. And then obviously a gardener, so I just made a little play on the name, on the word gardener.
All right, Loki, we're changing my name to Common Zen because I have my own Zen areas, and actually I have a couple. When I'm focused working in my garage, no employees around or anything, and I'm working on my own.
You just stole your name.
No. I turned it into a last name, Common Zen.
Oh, yeah, that's a big difference. Okay.
But also in front of
How about we just call you Common Buddha? How about that? Huh? How about common?
I like that, Cal.
Common.
Cool.
How about common?
Isa, back of the bus. Back of the bus.
Hey, sorry. I'm so sorry.
But even like in my own front yard, I've told you, I'm a single father of five. So my little area of getaway is in my front yard. I actually grow roses and lilacs and stuff. So, you know, and then I also have my motorcycle. I'll take off and just clear my mind and go for a ride. So, yes, I follow the Zen part of it. Even though I'm Catholic, we still have our Zen areas. But I would like to switch gears here a little bit with you, Zen.
Hold on, real quick before you do that, I was just going to briefly jump in here and say you forgot one of your feng shui Zen areas, with the strip club.
No, the badger.
That's it. That's all I care to say.
It's actually more the badgers, the burlap sack, and
the peanut butter. Yes.
But that's not really Zen. That's light entertainment.
I'm going to hell for that one.
That's like your milk and cookies at night, okay? But anyways, Zen, I actually want to let you kind of go on a bit of a roll right now, but I'm going to... Because one of your writings that I absolutely love, and I want you to kind of really get into it, but I'm going
to... You're listening to Isa and Common Cow on Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America. Look, find us on www.wakeupin.com.
Loki, didn't I tell you he was going to interrupt me all night? That's his game. Here, Cal, you have the reins. No, let me interrupt you all night is the game.
How does it feel?
Kind of cool, actually. Anyways, then... one of your writings that you've done, I'm going to do an excerpt from it. I actually love this. It falls right in to what I tell people a lot. The title of it is The Four Wise Monkeys of Modern Society. And the excerpt that I actually draws my most attention it starts right out. Idiots, avoid all new pertinent information in order to maintain their perspective, never questioning the status quo. I absolutely love that part of it. But as our listeners are learning and getting to know you, I would actually like you to kind of go more into explanation of how you came to the four monkeys.
Well, actually, I didn't write that one.
Really?
Yeah. He's a contributor. He's a terrific writer.
Because it says, I'm sorry, yeah, but it says right on here, contributor zengarden.com.
If you click on it, it says at the top, by Ethan Indigo Smith.
Oh.
He's a far out guy, by the way.
Indigo Smith, that name sounds familiar. Indigo Smith. How do I know that name?
Ethan Indigo Smith.
Yeah. How do I know that name?
He has articles on Wake Up World, if you go there.
That's where I know him from. Okay. Wake Up World, yes, .com. Yes, yeah. I'm familiar with that, yes. That's where I know the guy from. Okay, go ahead. Continue, please.
Pardon me. I'm so sorry. So sorry.
But anyway, that's... where did you leave me off, Cal? I got lost there.
Welcome to the Cal Show. You're listening to Cal Show on wakeupinbarica.com. M-E-R-I-C-A. You can also catch us on Quasi Party.
Our show is like ADD on steroids. We start here, and then we go over here, and then we come back over here.
Squirrel. Tiny pretty. Squirrel. Squirrel.
Anyways, what can you tell us or our listeners about the Four Monkeys?
Friends with them. I would prefer to cover a different. That's really Ethan's. I'm having a little trouble with my sound here. I'm trying to get Loki's attention.
Leave Loki alone.
That's bad, Loki.
We ignore Loki during the show until he gets his 5 minutes of fame at the end.
So sorry. Please continue.
Anyway, your original point.
Yeah, how idiots don't take in new information or the truth.
Yeah, it's very sad, you know, because. On the one hand, we address the people who aren't waking up as sheeple, you know, the dumb sheep and this and that. But we've all been there. We've all been, you know, we've all been asleep. So, and I would, you know, there's hope for just about anybody. But the problem is it's so infuriating when people just literally refuse to acknowledge obvious truths, and it just boggles the mind. I mean, you've seen it. I'm sure you've had lots of talks with people where you try to present even the simplest thing, whether you're pointing out a chemtrail or what's obvious to us, you know, this right left paradigm in politics, what baloney it is, and the lack of change, the so called lack of transparency.
Yeah.
I mean, what bothers me in that is people still keep this attitude like they're appealing to government to please change and please do something. Well, these are the bandits. You're asking the jailer for advice on how to live in your cell. It's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like to write about these more esoteric approaches, because until people kind of alter their mind shift and see things through a different prism, they're not going to get it.
You know, I have a saying I tell people that kind of falls along that line. It's a little more graphic, but I tell people to reach behind them, grab that corn cob, turn it 4 degrees to the left, and get a new perspective on the world.
Woohoo! but this is the point. I mean, it's what they call it, the Houdini effect, right, Cal? And then what they call it, the Houdini effect.
Oh, yeah.
Watch this hand.
Well, we do something over here. Nothing to see.
Yeah,
pay
exactly.
Attention to this hand.
Yeah. I mean,
like George Carlin says, and bend over while you're at it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to go there, but I figured I was going to give that opening to Cal, but you took it. Thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, Cal usually goes there.
I think Zen and I are kind of on a similar wavelength.
I can
here.
See you're that. Just, that's, yeah, you're from
just
the same
need
era.
To go,
so
go
of course.
Back of the bus.
So sorry. So very sorry. Please don't beat me.
You need to loop that so Loki can just pop that in anytime.
Oh, I have my own buttons, trust me.
So sorry. I make my own buttons. So sorry. So very sorry. Please don't beat me.
You suck.
but it's really frustrating trying to get through, especially, it's like that classic thing. People say, oh, don't talk about all this negative stuff. It's not negative. Information is empowering.
Right.
You're not seeing it with a full perspective or understanding, and you're not seeing through it and past it.
Annoying.
Well, I mean, we take a look at the fags and flags that the whole country was focusing on.
Esau, back of the bus.
No, it's the fags and flags. Everybody was fighting over fags and flags, but they snuck in the TPP.
Never go full retard.
Yeah.
I did go full retard, but I'm telling the truth. You don't like it? Get in the back of the bus with me. All right.
That's a perfect illustration of what you just said.
Ah.
look at right hand, look at the left hand. Meantime, they'll give you the shaft.
Zen, I will apologize for my co-host behavior tonight. He's not being very professional.
I got my bow tie on. I'm extremely professional. I'm going to take a picture of it. See if I can't load this.
But, oh, now we were like way off topic here. But
no, we're still on talking. We're talking about you know, the divided tactic. You know, like one of the things that frustrates me, and we talked about it in the show when we had Derek Freeman on about the Supreme Court doing something that really they didn't have any business doing to begin with, simply because it's not the government state's business who marries who. Okay, we all agreed upon that.
My question is with this whole rhetoric going on in South Carolina right now, of people attacking people because of the Confederate flag, what are we missing here? What's going on that the rest of America is not seeing, because we're all drawn to this whole fight over a flag thing?
Yeah, well, that's a good point, but it's also just to keep the vibration superficial. So people don't have time to really ponder the deeper things, and if it's not that, they're out there painting their face and screaming at a football game. Watching Donald Trump's hair flip or whatever.
That is a chia pet. That is not a toupee. That's a chia pet.
Hey, you leave Trump's hair alone.
Why? Somebody needs to pay to it.
He pays me very well for my badgers to sit still on top of his head.
Oh, that's not funny.
Isn't it a little racist to call it Black Friday?
It is very racist to call it Black Friday.
So, Zen.
Yeah.
Enlighten us on what you've got going on. Any upcoming...
Any upcoming acid parties?
Life's a trip, brother. Life's a trip.
That it is.
Oh, my goodness. There is no back to this bus. I'm thinking...
So sorry. Please forgive. Please do not cheat. So sorry.
I'm thinking you hit the third row and there's like a catapult waiting to shoot you back or something.
So sorry. Please don't beat.
Loki, mute his mic. Come on.
So sorry. Please forgive. Please do not kill. So sorry.
You left the microphone in the back of the bus. You forgot to throw the switch. Huh? But you sorry.
I'm so sorry. Please forgive. Do not beat.
Oh, I've been on Disney rides that don't go this crazy.
Well, it's a very interesting time right now. I'm doing a lot of writing. I love to just sort of process what's going on, and as I do it, it's a great exercise, because you know my perception clears up, and I feel I can get a grasp. And
well, throw your plug out there, so people know where to go.
Yeah, zengardner.com. That's it. Zengardner.
Yeah, we just put it on the chat room.
Not everybody's on the chat room, Issa. Some people just listen.
So sorry. Please forgive.
But I like to put up a variety of information, whether it's current events or insightful articles about consciousness, put up things about, extraterrestrial life maybe, or, new things that are coming out. I mean, we're living in an amazing age of information, and obviously there's no end to it practically.
Well, see, personally, I think the whole thing going on in South Carolina is just
a whole new way to control people.
It's all it is they're distracting us with something. But Zen, Issa and I were talking earlier before you came on, and I want to ask your opinion on something, because Issa asked my opinion on this. Now, we know these stars that have supposedly died, and being that you're in kind of a conspiracy ring and a thought ring kind of thing, I want to hear your thought process.
In other words, he's calling you a nut job.
Then that would make me a nut job. Because, I mean...
We know that. I mean, come on.
Okay, Pot, I'm calling you black. Andy Kaufman, Elvis Presley, Tupac. Are they still alive?
And can you please send pictures of your guys' poker game?
You're asking if they're still alive?
Yes. I gave Issa my opinion earlier, and I'm going to let you answer first, then I'll re-say what I told Issa earlier.
Well, I have recently seen pictures of the whole Challenger crew alive. Have you heard that one?
Okay, mind blown.
I remember crying over that teacher in 1985. Mm-hmm. I did not know that one, actually. I will be very upset. I want my tears back.
Search it. Reagan
owes me some tears.
Yeah, search it. It's a very interesting find somebody has. They're later in life, they have assumed different names and different identities. And
so did we land on the moon then?
No, we didn't land on the moon.
Damn it.
I know.
At least not back then. We have since then.
Really?
You don't think so? I'm asking.
NASA just admitted a few months ago that it's impossible to get through the radiation belt. So how are they going to get to Mars? This guy just blurted it out. You can't get through it. It would kill you. Now, maybe they
on the moon.
Maybe they can get machines through it. If
you're talking about on the moon? You're talking about on the moon?
You can't get through that. They would have been fried. Never mind some old-fashioned camera being able to develop them.
But what about if they wore the special yellow suit?
Yeah.
You know, the one that the military comes in when there's some kind of Ebola, you know, outbreak?
Right.
Yeah, or they could wear an orange one like they put on the ISIS boys.
There we go, an orange jumpsuit. But no, that just protects you from blood splatter.
I still need to know about Andy. I still need to know about
Andy. It's amazing how they color code, isn't it?
I
still need to know about Andy Kaufman and Elvis Presley. Come on, at least give me those two. Andy Kaufman.
I'll tell you what. At this point, anything's possible.
I want to see Elvis in concert, man.
Huh?
I want to see Elvis in concert. He's one of my favorite artists.
Well,
love me too. Oh, sorry.
All right. Hey, I have a serious question now. That right there. Actually, Cal, go ahead and tell your opinion.
Okay. My opinion was, to this point, if they went to such extremes to fake their death, then leave them the fuck alone.
Yeah.
This is PG! PG!
Leave them the fork alone.
Well, these other guys, these so-called bankers who were committing suicide, you got to wonder about that. I mean, who was the guy in charge of Enron? That supposedly had a heart attack in jail.
Oh God, I know who you're talking. It's one of those tip of the tongue things.
Anyway, he supposedly died in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah really. Uh huh. I mean, you never get evidence. You never see any. You know, the same thing with Saddam Hussein. I mean, people are believing what they're seeing on the frickin' TV.
Wait a minute, Saddam Hussein is not dead?
Oh, no. Let me see.
They hung him. I'm sorry. That's an authentic one.
No, that wasn't him. That's a different guy. He died way earlier. Same as a possibility. Same as Osama bin Laden.
Now, that I believe 100%. And the reason why I believe that is because being a Muslim and knowing how Muslims are buried,
Issa,
that C is not one of them.
Issa, you're a Mel Brooks fan.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just going to put it to you this way.
Jeffrey Keith.
Sir, Jeffrey Keith. You look like the piss boy.
He's quoting a very favorite movie of ours by Mel Brooks.
History of the World Part 1.
History of the World Part, yes.
The king looks identical to the piss boy, so they put the piss boy, dress him up like the king, so the real king's not assassinated.
Yes. Now, I will tell you this. Now, the Osama bin Laden thing, is a farce simply because of the fact that apparently some imam, we're talking about somebody who is scholarly in the theology of Islam and therefore would know better.
Does that include the gay imam?
We'll have to talk about that another time, I think.
I'm just saying. He's an imam.
So am I. But anyways, but you're right. They could have gotten the Turkish one. You know, the Turkish one on TV that says, if you masturbate, your hand is pregnant in heaven.
Yes.
So it could have been one of those yahoos.
Yeah.
So you actually destroyed the possibility there. There actually could have been somebody dumb enough.
Now will you get to the back of the bus?
So sorry, I go back now.
All conspiracy theories to the side, we can have a serious conversation about. Unless you wanted to comment on Osama and the Turkish imam who says masturbation will cause pregnant hands in heaven.
I'm just happy that an imam came out of the closet. That to me was a revelation.
I'm just saying, if you use both hands to do that to yourself, is that cheating on one hand versus the other when you impregnate both? Could they be twins?
Zen, was that a C-130 flying over dropping NSA officers off?
Yes, that was at my house.
Oh, okay, so it was Homeland Security. I got it.
They'd be knocking on the door pretty soon.
That ain't a knock, buddy. It's the boot.
If they
to
don't
the
knock, I have something for them they might not like.
If anybody's interested in the fact that the Saddam Hussein that they found in that spider hole wasn't really Saddam Hussein, but he died way earlier. I wrote the epilogue of a recent book that Jim Fetzer put out, and I'm trying to find the exact title. But it's something to the effect, so we didn't go to the moon either, did we? So we didn't go to the moon either? I think that's the title. It's on Amazon. People can get it. But it's got the whole Paul McCartney hoax, that the Paul we see today is not the real one. It's got... What? These are articles written by PhDs and genuine researchers, so it's a very interesting read. And it's got the Saddam Hussein thing. It's got the hoax moon landing. And I'm trying to think. There's a 6 or 7 very interesting but very compellingly written and researched and documented research.
Wait.
Pictures and all kinds of stuff.
So you're telling me that the guy that is currently selling out the Beatles is not the original Paul McCartney?
That's what this evidence suggests, and it's very compelling. I don't. You remember back in the day there was all this "Paul is dead" stuff going on.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Got the albums.
Yeah, and you know, the cover of Sgt. Pepper's are out in front of a grave, and it's got a left-handed bass guitar, and he's in bare feet when they're crossing Abbey Road, and you know, it was a big deal going on when I was in college, but you know, as the years went by, and their music's always been. Amazing, and then this resurfaced because Ole was had done a lot of research on it, and when I find people that I find you know, I know them and I find them reliable, and same with Jim Fetzer, he's a tireless researcher with incredible. Now,
I have to ask, how did you and Ole come together? I mean, you two were completely
come together.
Oh, back of the bus!
Over me.
I mean, you guys are two different continents, two totally different types of people. How did you two come together?
Oh, it's a really cool story, all about synchronicity. It's funny, I just got off about an hour and a half Skype call with him. Did he have the blue bottle again? He's up doing what he calls his terror tours, where he takes people to the actual site of red flags, yes. False flags. And he's up there in Norway now. You know, you remember the Breivik murder?
Yeah.
And he was there and he attempted to get on the island. You'll have to have him tell his story when he gets back, but he's off to Sweden now. But he, they tried to get on the island because tomorrow's the 4-year anniversary, and he just wanted to go look around the island, take pictures, because you can always, you know, observe and learn new stuff. And he went there with another researcher that he met up with synchronistically, who was filling him in on all kinds of information. And they got turned around by heavy-duty security people. And it's just a little pleasure island. So it's, you know, they're still, just like Sandy Hook, they're keeping it guarded, covered up.
So you don't think that Andrews Breivik actually killed 97 Muslims, children?
Three shooters were distinctly heard on that island. Same as these other false flags. You know, whether it's the Colorado theater or anywhere, there's always several shooters. They send in these people, create whatever mayhem they're going to do, and then stick it on the patsy and kill the patsy, or drug him up so he just looks like a zombie and nobody can even get any.
But what purpose would that serve? I mean, think about it. The agenda right now in Western Europe, as well as America, is to paint Muslims as the bad guy. Now, they went to far reaches to make sure that not any news agency, foreign or domestic mainstream media, tagged this guy as a terrorist. Now, were there other people involved? It's a very, very real possibility. I mean, the fact that he's able to run around on a tiny island in a police uniform with and killed 97 kids. Is it possible? Yes. Is it possible that there are other people? That's also a possibility. But my question is this. Why would the mainstream media work so hard to make sure that they defended his Christian faith, but they didn't label him a terrorist?
I don't know if they never labeled him a terrorist, but I do know that it was clearly a setup. One of the interesting factors of this is this group was pro-Palestinian. This group were sympathizing with Palestine at the time. So this has Mossad's fingerprints on it too, because there was he told me today he went in front of the building. Remember they blew up one of the government buildings there first?
Yeah, he set off two bombs.
Well, that building is still standing there, unrepaired, and has a giant tarp the length of the building, 15 stories, with a picture of the old building on the front of it.
What?
And he's nice. If that isn't weird ball,
could it be austerity? You know, measures that they're too poor. The economy is bad for everyone right now.
Yeah, exactly. That's insane. But these things always have these sort of occult fingerprints. Yeah. As well,
it's amazing because we can be broke, but they find ways to rebuild it bigger and better so that you have the patriotism and the nationalism to say, look at us, we can endure anything. We rebuilt us better and bigger.
Well, there's another aspect, though, because they're leaving monuments sometimes as warnings to people who are sort of on the fence and who knew it was staged, but they're telling them to shut up. And it's also sort of a signal to others in their little secret groups, whether Freemasonic or all these different spy agencies and terror outfits, you know, like the CIA and all those guys. They leave these occult fingerprints on these things, like they've done with the Twin Towers. They put those two massive black cubes that represent Saturnalia. It's a very occult thing. They've done these black infinity pools.
If you study the original before the Twin Towers were taken down, if you study that, you actually have a copy of the Masonic Order. You have the two towers, which represents the two pillars. Then you have dead center of that in the plaza. You have this spinning globe, this spinning earth. But ironically, it goes in the opposite direction. It goes in the direction of the devil, you know. So that, I remember.
It was also destroyed already. That sculpture was, it looked, yes. It was already this. It was like foreboding. It was, the thing was already, you remember seeing it. It's all busted up.
Yeah. So, I mean, the whole thing was symbiotic of cabal and mm-hmm. Satanism and all that before it was blown up. But then the blowing up of it, was done. It was also symbolic and all that stuff. But you didn't answer my question, though, because my question was, the media, government and the media works very hard all across the world to paint Muslims as the terrorist, as the boogeyman of the 21st century. And you clearly had a story. You say false. I say I think that it was authentic. And you have both American mainstream media, both on the left, MSNBC, as well as the right. Not one called him a terrorist. Not one mainstream media in Europe or in America called him a terrorist.
Well, that could be by design to get people pissed off. That they do that kind of stuff. That's why it's similar to the race riot meme, where they love to stir up anger and so they'd like to push buttons. That's why sometimes Obama will say something that is so anti-conservative America, it's going to piss off millions of people. But he sticks it right in their eye. They're provocative.
So it's antagonistic. It's antagonistic. They're doing with the flags. Just like they're doing with the race riots with KKK. Now that I can actually go along with because I do agree with that. It's a divide and conquer tactic.
Yeah, it's button pushing and it's also camouflage. I mean, look what's going on right now. You're hearing nothing about that's Jade Helm. It's a complete blackout. Well, that happens. That happened to coincide, that takeoff, very closely to this Charleston incident, and then this, then the following shooting. I mean, these are all, you know, they just sort of keep, they have to keep ginning up this anger and fear for one, and keep everybody on a very shallow vibration.
Because I kind of agree with that, Zen.
That's where they're susceptible. And that's a proven psychological fact.
And I agree with that, because I not only believe that there's an attack on Islam, but I believe there's an attack on morality, period. Morality comes from Christianity. It comes from Judaism. It comes from Islam. I believe not just those, but morality comes from a lot of places, self as well. There's an attack on that. So with that being said, I would like to briefly say that my coffee is here. And so I would like to say that everybody is listening to A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up America. I'm your co-host, Issa, who took over briefly, but we'll go back to the bus, as Cal has instructed him to do. I will be sipping on a luscious, delicious, caramel vanilla coffee.
Holy Cal crap, that's a lot of sugar.
And also, I'm not a diabetic, so I'm straight. Anyway, so you're listening to A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America on Coffee Party.
You still put the A in there.
I said Marco.
You said
you listen to Coffee Party, as well as J Rev. Like to put that out there. Our producer says that we do not announce ourselves enough. You can come over to www.wakeupinmerica.com. Join us for a conversation in our chat room. Grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and listen to Cal take over in the second half. Thank you very much.
I would just like to say you don't have the voice to be so close to the mic, my friend.
I go back to the bus now, boss. Okay? I'm back in the bus. With my coffee.
Oh, my goodness. Why do I bother with him? Now that I'm totally off on a different direction now. Okay.
Let me just add to what Issa was saying about the Muslim... And the Muslim Christian warfare agenda. We talked about it, I think, last time we chatted. You're familiar with this. The Freemasonic plan Albert Pike laid out back in the 1800s, where to put these different religions at war in an effort to bring in eventually a full on Luciferian agenda by debasing the tenets of the main religions of the world and putting them at war with each other. That's another thing that really ticks me off, that Americans have fallen for this, especially the churches. It's just unbelievable what they're teaching about Islam. They're saying that Islam, adherence to Islam is the mark of the beast,
mm-hmm.
which is like as twisted and contorted and fear-mongering, hate-mongering. It's just surreal, but that's just in the church aspect. And then what they're doing with the public too is they do Obama makes all these overtures to Islam supposedly, and you know there's people are making concessions, and there's a lot of Islamic structures. While at the same time, it's a mind screw. But at the same time, they're ginning up hate for the Muslim world and treating people there like less than animals. And exterminating them. So tell me how these things go together, and we're back to that same Hegelian dialectic. You know, they two opposing things that do not mesh. Neither one makes any sense. So people are forced to make the synthesis in the middle. The old, you know, it's been sort of twisted to mean, you know, problem reaction solution. But that's how your mind works. Your mind is going to synthesize something in the middle, which has no basis in fact anymore. And that's why Americans are mush-minded. That's why they have no conviction. That's why they can't think straight.
I bet you won't say it to my face.
Yeah. They can't reason. Like, you know, the zombie nation is coming upon us. It's a very, very strange time, and it's more surreal all the time. Is the only word that I can.
Hippie, how sad? Seriously, I mean, because I can imagine now.
Well, remember
how sad is it to see Americans like this?
Hold on. I've got that speech by Obama. Hold on, here we go. Really? You're going to do this now. Here, okay.
Yeah, throughout our history, Islam has contributed to the character of our country, and Muslim Americans and their good works have helped to build our nation. We've seen the results. We've seen those results in generations of Muslim immigrants, farmers and factory workers helping to lay the railroads and build our cities, Muslim innovators who helped build some of our highest skyscrapers, and
tear them down now.
Unlock the secrets of our universe. Every day, Muslim Americans are helping to shape the way that we think and the way that we work and the way that we do business. And that's the spirit that we celebrate tonight.
That was not very funny. You said that we did 9/11.
No.
I would not stay in the back of the bus now.
I did not say that. I just said help tear him down.
I would not stay in the back of the bus now.
You inferred that I said Muslims were responsible for 9/11. That is not what I said, sir.
You, my good sir, are not a very good sir. So to you, I say a good night.
But, I mean, how do you go from his speech saying that to how much controversy he allows to go out through the media that, you know, Muslims are evil?
Well, first of all, don't give Obama too much credit. He says nothing. He's just the mouthpiece.
Right.
But people, I really resent it when the headlines in the newspaper, everybody says, oh, Obama that did this, or Obama is bombing Syria, or Obama has changed this policy. The guy is the most shallow, vapid, cardboard cutout creature that ever hit the public stage. Which makes him perfect. He's the perfect guy. He's the ultimate Manchurian candidate.
Oh, nice.
God, I got lost on that rant.
Here, let me help you.
We do.
President Obama is a bad man. Very bad man.
I got a really interesting poster today. I have to read to you. Let me see where it is. I mean, he's doing a fantastic job of polarizing the country. There's so many people that absolutely detest this guy and everything he's doing. And yet at the same time, what's amazing, this really stunned me on my last trip to the States, the Obamaites are not letting it go. They own this thing. They defend him in spite of the absolute insanity, his not keeping one of his so-called promises, his absolute lack of transparency, his war record, you name it, and the liberals are just still fawning over the guy. It's about as surreal as it gets.
Oh yeah, there was even talk of trying to figure out a way for him to run for a third term. I was like, no, I will go on a shooting rampage the likes this continent has never seen.
That was Common Cow's comment. That was nothing to do with a Muslim and a Catholic wake up in America.
That was a Catholic comment.
I have nothing to do with that, nor am I planning to do anything with him on that. Thank you. But I will help him to
be
able to chat.
You said you were going to drive the Humvee while I reloaded.
Once again, I will plead the fifth on that one. Fifth!
I don't think there's going to be another election. This whole thing is just BS.
Really?
Yeah. It'll either be martial law or a complete revamp, constitutional convention. I don't think it'll be that orderly.
Oh, you think the New World Order will take an effect?
I don't like the term.
It already
King
is.
Obama.
I mean, Agenda 21 is in full swing.
Correct.
The they're taking down California every which way from Sunday. It's the migration agenda has nothing to do with race. It's about breaking down the structure and causing more conflict and more resentment and more.
Well,
more polarity.
In this coming future, will I get to keep my bow tie? Please.
Issa, give me a moment here.
I feel like
Zen. We are at the top of our hour, and as you know, we do a intermission here. We play a couple commercials, and actually, Zen, as I normally do, I like to pick out a song for our individual guests, and I have chosen one to play for you tonight. I think you will enjoy it. But we're going to do two commercials to pay some bills. And we are going to then do a song and two more commercials and come back to you, Zen.
Okay.
Maybe. if Cal will let you.
Horror stories belong around the campfire, not in the garage. Avoid your own automotive horror stories by making an appointment for scheduled maintenance or other necessary services with RC Auto Care. Whether you are fully restoring a classic, building a street rod, wanting a race car, or just needing maintenance completed on your mom mobile, call RC Auto Care today at 269-762-7358. Let Cal, Art, Tom, or any of our other highly skilled professionals turn your horror story into a happy ending. RC Auto Care. We make your dreams come true.
That button somehow became my old commercial again. I'll have to redo that again. I'm sorry.
Akasha said I can keep my bow tie.
Is it possible for an American Muslim and an Irish Catholic to agree on anything? Issa Hodge and Common Cow go head-to-head every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, on their show, A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America. Rebroadcast on JREV.
Or maybe not. We don't know, really. Okay, Zen. I'm hoping this takes you back to a good time and a good place in your life. But I chose a song, I think, that you will just absolutely enjoy. If I'm wrong, please feel free to smack me virtually.
I wanted to go with War, What Is It Good For? But, or even Fade to Black, Rolling Stone.
No, this is way better.
Yeah, let's see.
You guys conspired on what this song's going to be?
We did. We usually do. We fight feverishly about what we're going to play.
The Mystery Man came over and he said, I'm out of sight.
I'm out of
sight. He said, for a nominal service charge, I could reach Nirvana tonight. If I was ready, willing, and able to pay him his regular fee, he would drop all the rest of his pressing affairs and devote his attention to me. But I said,
no, him rather. Who you jiving with that cosmic debris?
Now who you jiving with that cosmic debris?
Look him rather. Don't you waste your time on me.
The Mystery Man got nervous and he fidgeted around a bit. He reached in the pocket of his mystery robe and he whipped out a shaving kit. Now I thought it was a razor and a can of foaming goo, but he told me right then when the top popped open there was nothing his box won't do but the oil of Aphrodite and the dust of the Grand Wazoo. He said, you might not believe this, little fellow, but it'll cure your asthma too. And I said,
mumble jumble then I told him he was gonna sleep. Around price of meat has just gone up and your old lady has just gone down.
Look here, brother. Who you driving with that cosmic debris?
Now, is that a real poncho or is that a Sears poncho? Don't you know you can make more money as a butcher? So don't you waste your time on me.
Don't waste it.
Horror stories belong around the campfire, not in the garage. Avoid your own automotive horror stories by making an appointment for scheduled maintenance or other necessary services with RC Auto Care. Whether you are fully restoring a classic, building a street rod, wanting a race car, or just needing maintenance completed on your mom-mobile, call RC Auto Care today at 269-762-7358 and let Cal or any of our other highly skilled professionals turn your horror story into a happy ending. RC Auto Care, we make dreams come true.
Dreamed I was an Eskimo.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea. But you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
All right, welcome back to A Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America. I'm your host, Issa. My buddy Common Cal is in charge tonight. He's driving his bus. I'm sitting in the back being a good boy as usual. And we have our guest, Zen Gardner, on with us tonight.
Okay, so I got to ask.
And Loki's pushing buttons and pissing me off tonight.
I got to ask, Zen, did I hit it? Did I get it right?
Yeah, that was great. I just wrote you a note. That wasn't what I was expecting. That was a fun song, man.
I am very eclectic musically. People look at me and they think I'm like rock and roll and stuff. And it's like, no, you guys just don't know. I spread the gambit, except for country music. I'm not big on the country.
Unless
it's old country. Hank Williams.
Cal and I have a lot of similar tastes in music that does run the gambit. We both agree on the country music that...
New country is...
I don't like any of it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But except for Islands in the Stream. I don't know why. That one always gets me.
It's not new country.
No, Islands in the Stream, Dolly Parton. I don't know why that one gets me. I remember it as a kid.
That is what we are.
There you go. Everything fits in between. Everything fits in between. Sail away with me.
That's right.
So
we rely on each other.
Because you understand, in New York, you know, there's not a whole lot of country unless you're going upstate. You know, so country really is frowned upon.
You went full retard.
I did not go full retard. Anyway, so we are on with Zen Gardner, and yes, Cal does do a very good job at making sure that the song that is played, particularly for our guest, is spot on, even though last week he missed the mark completely.
No, but you wouldn't let me play the song I wanted to play originally.
Heck no, we're talking about a presidential candidate.
Exactly. Okay, Zen.
Zen's gone. Zen went bye-bye. Zen's done with us. He's gone.
You know, I want Zen's opinion on this. Okay, our guest last week was Jill Stein, the presidential Green Party candidate, hopeful, whatever you want to put. I originally wanted to play George Clinton. If anybody's going to get funked up, it's going to be you. I figured that would be a perfect fight political song for her. What do you think?
I don't know. That's out of my genre.
Well, he's not a funkadelic.
Oh man,
not a funkadelic.
Yeah, I don't actually listen to much music anymore. I'm very careful what I listen to. Let me put it that way.
You never know what poisons a soul, right?
I just figured, and not to be offensive, not to be offensive towards Jill or anything, but she does in her pictures have that. Well, I won't say I won't say middle class because she or not middle class.
She's a Harvard graduate.
No, it's okay? the look she has is more.
Please don't say it. 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 Please don't say it.
Older, pasty white woman.
Oh, you butthead. That's it. I'm done.
I don't mean that in an offensive way. It's just a description.
Goodbye. I'm done.
But think about it. Her coming out on a debate or anything, and her fight song is George Clinton in the Parliament Funk. Come on! Would that not be classic? No? Yeah. No, I'm getting a nod now.
Whatever. I can't get on that channel. I just like your description. That's like telling somebody, you're such a fat turd, but I don't mean that offensively.
Exactly! Thank you!
No disrespect intended.
Yeah,
we get that from the Italians.
You eat too many cannolis. You know what I'm saying? Maybe the baba ganoush. Maybe you need to lay off the baba ganoush. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, I actually have one question that I know this is a little bit older, but honestly, Zen, I with everything that you research and everything, I'm sure you've come across this, and I'm sure you probably got a lot of knowledge on it. The whole conspiracy theory about the black budget with Edward Snowden and everything.
Yeah.
What are your views on it?
Yeah, of course. That's where the real economy is. Those are the guys. They're just playing with us out here. I mean, whether they even need money for some of the stuff they do, but let's assuming that currency and all that is also needed in this parallel operation that is massive behind the scenes, be it secret space programs or, you know, all this, these bioweapon labs and all the insanity that artificial intelligence stuff going on, which we don't hear any of this stuff. I mean, we know about DARPA. They reveal a few of their programs, but DARPA is only a part of it. These guys have been busy at it. It's as deep and vast as the underground base system that is underneath America and Europe and many other parts of the world. These people have been building these things since the 40s and tunneling at massive rates. And these are not a conspiracy. You can find pictures of them. And of course they'd do something like this. Of course they would be investing what they consider in what they consider are important projects, which has to do with their, what do they call it, the continuity of government. You know, there's that weather mountain outside of D.C., which they admitted to, and Congress tried to say, what the hell is it, back in the 60s, and they wouldn't say anything.
Right.
But it's a whole massive underground facility.
Well,
out in Colorado, there's that one famous one, but now we know there's one underneath the Denver airport, the new Denver airport. They're out Dulce, New Mexico. People have spotted these entrances, things coming and going all over the place. This is where that so-called black budget is going, and it's massive. I mean, we're treated like just the termites on the top of the stick. The real deal, what's going on is behind this smoke and mirrors. The thing we're giving out here is just a little plaything to keep us entertained and to stop asking questions, and that has to do with even looks like important stuff.
Well, even Eisenhower, you know.
Excuse me, boss. El jefe. Perdóname, es necesito.
We have a caller.
Tu habla con. Gracias.
Pardon.
Perdóname.
Practica.
Es muy importante tu practicar el español porque es dos es grande lengua en América.
Oh,
okay?
My goodness.
You've got a chupacabra back there.
A chupacabra. I'm so sorry. Please bring caller on.
Anyways, even Eisenhower, even with the conspiracies that he was dwelled in, was still forthright about the American people being knowledgeable and educated. He was even quoted in saying, in the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought by the military-industrial complex. The potential for a disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist. Only an alert and knowledgeable citizenry can compel the proper meshing of the huge industrial and military machine of defense with our peaceful message and goals. Now, I mean, he was a general in the military and was still putting it out there that people needed to educate themselves. Otherwise, the government was going to run you over.
I think that was...
I need to get to Kuala.
Perhaps later in life, he was starting to have some qualms about what he knew and what he was part of. I mean, he's
right.
He's the bastard behind the Dresden bombings.
And, oh, yeah, yeah.
And I mean, the massive camps that exterminated massive amounts of people after the war that weren't even, you know,
right.
They're just held prisoner and all that.
And that's what I meant by everything he was wrapped
these
up
guys,
in.
Sometimes before they die, they grow a conscience and they want to give their last warning.
Right.
But I also look at things extremely skeptically. And I try to, it's like a kaleidoscope or a prism. You want to look through things through different facets, because when we see things direct on the way we perceived it prior to waking up, it tends to carry the same message. You go step around the corner and look at it another way, you see something different. In this case, do these guys literally pre-program us or by telling us these things to try to win us over that there are good people in government who actually are looking after us, when in fact they're just playing us? They're putting enough truth out there to get to sort of win our confidence and to forget about the absolute, you know, their demonic behavior that they just perpetrated in the so-called name of liberty and freedom, which is, you know, absolute farce. These are bankers' wars and genocide for the thrill of it, for whatever's feeding off of the human race.
Right. Please forgive the interruption. I'm coming from the back of the bus. We really need to get this caller, just in case they hang up. I really want to get the caller. So
please forgive
the golem in the back. Okay, thank you.
All right, bring him on.
Hello, you're on with Isa and Cal with the Muslim and the Catholic.
You just cannot wait to jump in. Can you?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I go sit back in the back of the
bus. Are you guys trying to be funny?
No, we're just being us.
So, which one is which?
I'm Cal. The golem in the back of the bus is Isa. The enlightened gentleman in the corner over there is Zen. Who are you?
I'm the one angry Jew.
The one angry Jew? There's only one angry Jew, is what you're telling me?
Only one.
There's only one. I know many myself.
I know a few others that are good friends of mine. Maybe you guys could start a poker party or something, you know?
I was going to say, I know enough myself to fill Disneyland.
You may know many angry Jews, but there's only one angry Jew.
And what are you angry about?
The collective consciousness.
So what makes you angry? You called in to talk to our guest or to us?
What makes me angry? Lots of things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Government lies.
Now,
that's true.
99% of the time.
Did you have a question for Zen or me or Isa, or did you have a statement to make? Or
did you really think that 9/11 was a conspiracy? I heard you allude to that.
Well, who do you think did it? Do you actually believe the government story? I mean, you just said that 99% of the things that the government says is lies. So is that the 1% that they were telling the truth on? Was 9/11?
I'm not sure where they tell the truth. I'm still looking for it.
Okay. Well, I mean, no, that's a legitimate statement. I mean, for me, myself, there's a lot of theories out there. There's a lot of facts that point it, but there's one thing I think that we can all agree upon, that the story, please correct me if you think I'm wrong, but the story that the government has given us is wrong. There's holes filled throughout the entire story. I mean, look at the engineers and architects for truth on 9/11. We're talking about, you know, these are professional engineers of major, massive structures.
Well, that's up to you if you want to believe thousands of architects instead of one guy from NIST. That's up to you, isn't it?
One guy from NIST. Okay. I mean, we can go on and talk about the NIST, and we could talk about the fact that they completely hid any facts of the thermite. We can also talk about the fact that within days after it, I mean, they're massively getting rid of all the evidence, which is contrary to NIST's own protocols in events like this. Okay? I mean, these are all facts. These are all the things that go to show us that the government is not being honest with us. As you said, 99% of the things that come out of the government's mouth is lies. So is it possible when we have some facts that are contrary to the government's story that maybe the government's not being 100% honest and maybe the government pulled the wool over our eyes in order to feed the military industrial complex?
How do you explain Building 6?
Same way as I explained Building 7, Building 1, and Building 2.
No. Building 6 and Building 7 are very different.
Okay. How would you explain it then?
They are nothing alike.
Did a plane hit 6 or 7?
Well, no, we know that something hit Buildings 1 and 2.
Okay.
But
out of all the high rises.
Came down on its own.
Out of all the high rises in the history.
Came down on its own.
Correct, and so did one.
Let me ask you. Hold on. Have you seen a picture of Building 6?
Enlighten me and everybody else about Building 6.
Well, Building 6 is missing its middle.
Mm-hmm.
The middle of the building is gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's as if somebody took a big ice cream scoop and scooped out the center of the building.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not crushed. It's not...
They just gutted it.
Knocked over. It's gone. No. Gutted means you go in there and you start destroying things.
Mm-hmm.
From
what
inside.
Was in the middle is not there. It's gone.
Zen, have you heard of this?
Yeah, there's large circular holes in those buildings.
Yes, there are.
This goes to the...
There's no debris on the ground. In fact, if you look at the sides of the office structure, mm-hmm. it would be outer... parts of the building are damaged, of course, by falling debris from
buildings 1 and 2. It almost looks like a huge sinkhole.
But the inner, hold on a second, the inner portion of Building 6, where ceiling tiles were connected across to each other, they just fell because whatever they were holding on to is gone.
Right.
If you look at the pictures carefully, you'll see pieces of structure that no longer are holding on to anything, that have just fallen down and are hanging from the structure that's left.
Right, from the inside.
In other words, think of a whole bunch of toothpicks that you put together with glue. Maybe, for example, you've got 30 toothpicks, and they're all connected with glue. You've got this lattice work, but all of a sudden... your toothpicks on the outer edges are still there, but some of your toothpicks have fallen down a floor or two. In other words, they're just hanging one floor or two floors because they're not connected to anything anymore. The toothpicks in the middle are gone. Nothing smashed them. They're gone.
So what do you think happened? What is your theory based upon your opinion or facts?
I have no explanation of what happened because I can't tell you what type of weapon is capable of doing that.
Oh, I can.
Obviously, something I've never seen.
There are several. There are actually...
I think some kind of...
Excuse me.
I think an energy force...
Hold on.
Some kind of energy force took that building...
Have you ever heard of an earthquake machine?
A what?
It's an earthquake machine. It can cause seismic tremors underneath a building. There are also...
No, you're missing the point here. There's not pieces of debris in the bottom of that building. That building, you can see the ground. You can see the ground floor.
Right.
There was a whole building there. It's not there anymore. Where'd it go?
So 19 individuals hijacking 4 planes did not do it. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, if you want to discuss the hijackers,
I just asked a simple question.
If you want to ask me about the 18 hijackers from Saudi Arabia and the one from Egypt,
mm-hmm.
no, I think they were all patsies. I don't think any of them knew they were going to die that day.
Okay.
You know what it is?
It's a whole new way to control people.
Of course, it's a whole new way to control people. Well, thank you, caller. We're going to let Zen.
You're not answering my question.
Oh, I didn't know what. Did anybody catch the question there? Help us out here so we can get his question answered. I had not heard of Building 7. I've heard of Building 7 as well as 6, but I hadn't heard about the portion.
Is there a belief, and from the pictures, you can kind of see where the belief structure comes from. The center of the building is technically missing. The pictures, yeah, it kind of looks like the first floor is still technically there. But if you really kind of look in, you can also see where it could be like a fissure type thing.
Right.
Where it just kind of sucked itself in.
So we're talking about like trans-dimensional portal systems? Just
well, that, I mean, there's many theories.
Zen?
Like you said, Cal, there's a lot of theories. We're pretty, I mean, I personally think they used nuclear technology to blow the bedrock underneath the Twin Towers because they were fastened meticulously to the rock.
Right.
Otherwise, people wouldn't have approved the construction. And that you can see afterwards, the rock was melted. And as you know, there was molten rock down there for months, which not just thermite and thermate caused, but I just wish somebody took nuclear readings, radiation
well, you
readings.
Know, that actually makes sense because you look at the level of cancer of first responders and police officers. I mean, you look at the level of cancer, not just lung from the stuff that they breathed in. I mean, although that was a vast majority of the sicknesses, but I mean, there was, I mean, all kinds of bone and blood and skin cancer. I mean, it runs the gambit of all known cancers affected so many first responders. And simply breathing in that stuff wouldn't cause that. But hey, real quick, you know, I figured out who the angry Jew is. It's Netanyahu. Netanyahu
really?
Just called our show.
Oh, man.
And I know. And we hung, and Loki, the producer, hung up on the angry Jew too soon. That was Netanyahu. We had Netanyahu on the show.
Oh, man. I had so many questions. No, but with
that was Uncle Beepy. You hung up on Uncle Beepy.
With the one I like the most, and the nuclear does make a lot of sense, but there also is a speculation of what they call a seismic machine or earthquake machine is what they call it, which entail would kind of make sense with the collapse of all these buildings because you can control the seismic machine, from what I'm told. I can't say I've ever seen one personally or seen it used or anything, but apparently you can control the waves of seismic activity from these machines, and used underneath a building is supposed to be like a sinkhole kind of effect. That's what I understand of it.
Well, there's a lot of potential technologies. I Judy Woods's work on the energy sort of beam technology being used is very compelling. Thermate's very compelling. Nuclear. I think it was a combination of things that and then HARP type technologies, like you're saying, they could have used a whole array of stuff. The fact is, the buildings were dustified. It just shaking the buildings and making them collapse, we would have seen a completely different scenario. There would have been all kinds of cement and stuff. There wasn't a single desk, a single chair. There wasn't a toothbrush. There was nothing. It was dustified. That does not happen when things pancake, for goodness sake. That's the most insane theory there is. The top would have done whatever it did. And you can watch the videos. The middle of it drops out as they took out the core. And the really weird thing is as it gets down to the lower stages, you see the tower that was on top literally turn into mist. Right. Not crumble and fall, but just turns into mist.
Right.
Yeah. So you wonder what kind of energy is causing that. So, I'm very open to what Judy Woods says. I mean, she's a very qualified person, but I don't like to see the 9/11 community so tripped off and divided on what exactly happened when the point is we need to get across to people that this was an orchestrated event. You've been bamboozled. This was a form of freaking occult mind control. Like you said, it's the Twin Towers. It's Boaz and Joaquin. They pushed them apart right in front of everybody's faces. This appeals to their archetypes. It was a massive mind control event. And then ultimately, cui bono? Who benefits? It's as obvious as the nose on your face. The Patriot Act was ready to be signed. Wham! Went into action, and off to war we went. And now they tell us it's a war that has no end. We don't see any end to this war. And then when, like you said at the beginning, I'm getting on a rant, excuse me for a second. But when they said, when you said at the beginning, this Wesley Clark jerkwad who came out and said, you know, the people who are questioning, you know, the party line should be put in internment camps, also known as FEMA camps or whatever they are. It might be Walmart's and Best
Buy. Oh, I so agree with that. That's but, see, my tires won't even touch a Walmart parking lot. If my kid wants to go to Walmart or something, I park across the street at the Applebee's and make him cross a very busy road. You know.
Another place to keep in mind is old closed malls. And watch out for this mall strain called Westfield. I don't know if they also own Mall of America, but this is a heavy-duty Zionist joint. They're said to have underground facilities that are out of sight. So we don't know what these idiots have been doing, but it's the heads up. But watch out for Westfield malls, and look at the kiosks. They're usually run by Israeli kids who are out there selling trinkets. But you can watch them interact. I mean, I've seen it in several malls. It's a whole network. It's like the guys selling paintings before 9/11. You heard all that stuff.
I was gonna say
with Wesley Clark. He said, "Intern these people." Who are suspicious? I mean, I wasn't going to connect like that. But how far down the road do we have to get?
Right.
Oh yeah. He says until the end of the war on terror, and they already said there's no end to it.
Yep.
So right back into George Orwell's world of constant war for the sake of keeping people in line and having somebody in common to hate. Now, and people who have not read 1984 better whip it out fast.
Oh yeah. Great book, by the way.
I'll get back to it, yeah.
But let me just clarify. Just because I brought up the earthquake machine doesn't mean that's the theory I believe. Okay, I'm not sold on really any of the theories yet. I'm more a proof in the pudding kind of guy. But I have to admit, it is an interesting one. You know?
Pudding.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there was a university, I don't know if it was Princeton or somewhere, across the river that was registering the seismic activity. And they noticed this thing going off prior to the buildings falling. In other words, the basement explosions. They saw this. And when the building actually fell, it did not have the effect on hitting the earth as they thought it would. Reason being, it was dustified. It was scattered around. You know, they found bone fragments on you know, blocks away on the roof of buildings. This thing was blown out. You can see the 50-foot beams going sideways at 60 miles an hour. It's as obvious as the nose on your face. But again, we're back to this incredible phenomenon of how Americans, or the world for that matter, but mostly Americans, can see something and be told what it means and fall for the explanation.
Oh yeah.
And this is from decades of television programming. Decades of false information, decades of false education.
Well, it's the shiny thing, you know. Look over here.
Well, it's also the fact that they took critical thinking out of schools, you know. Yeah. They took the ability to be able to ask, why does 2 + 2 = 4, all right? I mean, and then you also take on this indoctrination that's happening. I mean, look right now, you have Louis Farrakhan planning, who I'm not a big fan of, by the way. I think that he is a paid provocateur. I think he's a race baiter. Anyways, that's my personal opinion of the Louis Farrakhan. But anyway, so in 1010, he's going to demand the United States flag, to be taken down. And it's polarizing the country. You got all these vets. You've got all these 3%ers. You got all these people coming up. Talking about they're going to go to Washington, D.C. with their guns to defend the flag, and if anybody touches it. You know, the thing is that when the word sheeple is a funny word, but my God, is it so true? Because it's like, instead of you worried about, if you paid that man no attention, seriously, and let him destroy a piece of cloth, even as disrespectful as that is, look behind me, the listeners can't see it, I got a flag. I have patriotism for this country, but it's a piece of cloth. Patriotism is in self. It's in how you deem and respect everybody else that lives in this country. That's patriotism. When you would be willing to defend from any enemy, foreign or domestic, anybody else, regardless of their faith, or ISIS, or whatever. Or defend them from ISIS. Yes, that's very important. You must defend yourselves from me.
My house is covered in bacon.
And I actually had some 3%ers who used to hate Muslims, who took it upon themselves to actually come and ask questions about Islam. And now they're people that respect me. They listen to the show. They promote the show, you know. And they no longer see Muslims as the enemy, all right? And they're asking me to do a YouTube video defending the American flag. And the thing is, I'm having a hard time because it's a piece of cloth. What the symbolizes for me personally, what the American flag symbolizes is in us. And we're losing that because we're allowing them to divide us with Supreme Court rulings of gays being allowed to be married, with people burning flags and Confederates and all this crap.
Hey, right after you do your video for the American flag, you got to do one for me for the Harley-Davidson flag.
Okay. I already posted one. Somebody had a Cowboys flag in my neighborhood. That offends me. I'm a Giants fan. That must come down. I went over there, grabbed it off their house, and wiped my behind with it and hung it back up. So every time they touch it before game, they're touching my butt. That's what they're doing. Just letting you know that right now.
Well, I'm a Notre Dame person, but I live in Michigan, so you know how horrified I am.
It's funny, you guys are joking, but that's how it works, you know?
Oh, I know, I know.
That's what we do here.
Yeah, that's why we make fun of it.
It's the whole concept of patriotism. You're taking it's sort of like how spirituality gets hijacked. People take it. You know, people set themselves in a hierarchy and say you've got to go through them to find God and that kind of stuff.
And that's not what it says. That's not what the Bible says at all.
No, I know that. I know that. But that's not what these starchy, I call it crunchy Christians get stuck in this hierarchy, depending on others instead of their own relationship with the divine.
Right.
But it's similar to patriotism. We love each other. We want to support each other. But this whole idea of the national boundary, what really is essentially is a sense of sovereignty and family and community.
Right.
It gets misidentified into this national thing, which gets hijacked very easily by manipulators who set themselves up.
Jim Jones.
The U.S. has a president and a vice president and a treasurer. It's a freaking corporation. It's no longer a republic.
CEO, the original vice president, CEO, yeah.
Yeah, and the original idea actually originated by John Locke and perhaps before him back in Europe was, you know, this idea of a republic, a representative republic, and all those things. And it's an experiment that... I think they had other ideas for it and thought they could control it better, and it got out of hand. And there was too much independence bred for their liking, and it had to come back around in social engineering to bring it back under control, which is also very much by police and military means. But, you know, distracting everybody with these things like sports and, you know, stupid these false arguments over flags and this and that.
Yeah.
But my point is that people, we get hijacked from our inherent love, our love for each other, our loyalty to each other, to protect each other. And it's a very slippery thing because all of a sudden someone says, oh, there's an external enemy outside of our borders and we must fight against it, draw together. Yes, that makes sense in a real world. Unfortunately, all the wars are engineered, so we're being set up by not really understanding the concepts that we're aligning our emotions to. So understand what I'm saying?
It goes back to your "don't worry, everything is not under control" kind of thing.
you've been trolling my site, haven't you?
Oh, since the first time we met, I check in on it every now and then.
What I typed in our chat room that we have privately for us, right? You're probably one of probably the first fan, our first guest, that Cal actually likes 100%.
Yes.
I'm serious. Even over Jill Stein.
Over Menard.
Ken O'Keefe.
Ken O'Keefe. Yes.
Okay? Jill Stein, I mean... I mean, we've had Robert Fantina. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on.
See, Menard was my number one. Yeah. But Zen, man, you've taken it to a new level with me. And as much as I still love Menard, yeah, you're above her right now.
You guys are so sweet.
Well, and I honestly,
hey, I'm not agreeing with him. So Zen, you guys, sweet. Nah, my favorite. I'm sorry, I like you a lot, Zen. That's why I asked you to come back on. Don't get me wrong.
I actually have
my favorite is Cal. Who's my favorite? Come on.
I don't care.
Loki, who's my favorite?
Back of the bus, okay?
Quiet.
Back of the bus.
Who's my favorite, Loki? Come on
back
in.
Back of the bus.
Daniel Johnson.
That's right. It's a bromance.
He's my number three.
Don't get it twisted. It's a bromance.
He's my number three. Daniel is awesome. But, you know, no, Zen, since I met you and I went to your website first, I trust me, I am an extremely busy person. But I have your website bookmarked, and I do go back here and there when I do get the opportunity, and I do read a little bit here and there. And for me, I'll tell you, running four businesses and five kids, to even take the time to read anything is a huge part of my time.
I kid. All right, listen.
You know, I'm
can we talk about? I've been waiting to talk about Wesley Clark here. Okay.
Okay.
Can
ahead.
I please? I've been nice.
Okay. Okay.
I'm tired of being nice. Oh, I'm talking about Wesley Clark.
It's 19 minutes for the top of the hour. Issa, you get 5 minutes, and then it's on to Loki. Go.
I don't want to talk now.
Yeah, because you can't say anything in under 5 minutes.
Exactly. You're going to do that to me. No, I mean, Wesley Clark. Let's look at Wesley Clark. We kind of touched on him a little bit, Zen, earlier. By the way, I want to thank you for sticking with us for the full 2 hours. We know it's very, very late where you're from. But thank you. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys.
Just in case I don't get to talk again, I want to go ahead and put that out there, Zen. Anyways, so that's Wesley Clark. You kind of touched on it before. He looked like this liberator of honesty and truth. I mean, I started seeing a cape on a guy and a mask on him and looking like an old general superhero, you know, kind of situation. He's letting us know the inner darkest secrets of the Pentagon. And last week, the idiot talks about turning your guns. And now this week, you want to touch on that? What is he talking about? This just yesterday, it was released in the independent media. Go ahead, talk about that.
The people who are challenging the government should be rounded up during the considered enemy ranks, like the Japanese during World War II kind of thing. Should be rounded up.
Yep. Round up and shot.
Well, no, he said detained.
Oh, detained. Okay. Yeah. I thought he said round them up and shoot them with the guns we just took from him. You remember this Remington shotgun? This was yours, cacao.
Mine's over in the corner right here.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I talked with Bobby Rodrigo. He is the founder of Coffee Party USA, which we are simulcasted on. Hello, everybody over there in Coffee Party USA. Did I say that right, Loki? Right? I get names. Hey, look at that. I learned. I good. I ride the short bus. So, anyways. So, when you look at this. Now, Cal, you know this. I've talked about this for, the last 2 years we've been on the show. I've talked about it before that. That our history in America, 239 years, we go through this vicious cycle. You know, this cycle of violence, okay? Where there's three phases in it. Phase one is always rhetoric and propaganda. Whether it's truth or lies, it's always constantly pumped out there through every form of medium that they can put it out there. This continues into phase two, which phase two is isolated incidences of violence by those weaker of mind, easier susceptible to suggestion. And the rhetoric continues into phase three, which is the most problematic, which is where we get our mass lynchings and our mass killings, where it is legally as well as socially acceptable to harm said minority. And this is a vicious cycle that we've done over and over and over again. But the key point to go from phase two to phase three, all right, is you have to have this ideology, this mentality of hatred bleed from what starts in the far right bleeds through the middle into the left. So here we have Wesley Clark, who was the media darling. The liberals loved him on the far left. They grabbed him up, took him on book tours, and they were promoting him everywhere. And then he sits on MSNBC, the most liberal news agency out there, mainstream agency out there. And he basically spits this. Now, we saw this with Bill Maher. We talked about this. Bill Maher, who's liberal himself, and all his anti-Islamic rhetoric that he's been on. And so we are now officially in the liberal section. I mean, the vicious cycle of violence, it's in the left. It's there. Would you agree, Zen? I know what I'm doing, Loki.
What happened to your messages here? Yeah, I mean, the whole he was also the darling of, in a certain sense, of the alternative media when he blew the whistle on that the meetings he had at the Pentagon, where they admitted their, you know, their own surprise that they announced right after 9/11 they're going into not just Afghanistan but Iraq, Syria, you know, Egypt, Libya, whatever, you know, that their whole the whole plan, which they've laid out in their think tanks for years. So we tended to think, oh, this is a guy, he's a whistleblower, he's telling the truth. Now he turns
crazy.
Around and does a complete, you know, well, it's not an about face. I mean, he's a CFR member. He's one of them. But this is a good illustration of what I'm trying to say tonight in part of it is they screw with our heads. They lead you on one way. They'll tell you some truth and then backflip on you and tell you untruth.
It's like having a psycho girlfriend with no benefits.
But he's a perfect illustration. When I saw it was him, I just thought, wow.
No, you get benefits there.
Typical. Sorry?
Issa was making fun of strippers, and I told him that was not polite.
I'm so sorry that I muddied your pond.
He was interrupting you, Zen, and I was trying to smack his hand.
Yeah, that's all right. I think I made my point, but...
yeah,
every day I'm sure you guys are experiencing the same. It's more surreal. The mind flips, the mental, just the mental gymnastics to get through the headlines each day, seeing the insanity. I don't know if you saw this latest, a second video came out exposing Planned Parenthood with selling body parts.
Selling fetuses, yeah, I saw that.
It's the second one, and I know Drudge ran it as a headline this afternoon. that's going to wake people up, you know. Planned Parenthood was begun by Bill Gates' dad and another woman.
Yeah, okay. Who was racist.
This is eugenics.
Yeah.
Eugenics was the Rockefellers founded a part of a university in Germany to study this way back during around the time and maybe before the World War II, you know, which is pretty much at the time meant exterminating, you know, lesser developed people and races on our planet, you know, for the sake of cleaning up our genetic pond kind of thing. You know, scientific madness to the max, but very appealing to the elite and these totally disconnected, non-empathic whack jobs that have been in positions of power for way too long. But and it was adopted by the intelligentsia in the United States, embraced. Let's do this. And they, you know, show pictures of these really, you know, underdeveloped people and saying, do we want this in the food chain kind of thing or the sperm chain? and then when Hitler took it, it became unpopular. He unpopularized a lot of things, but at the same time, as you know, stimulated science and took it to new levels, and then they imported it to the U.S. But this is one of the things they imported was eugenics. And Planned Parenthood is a nasty, nasty organization. If you want to see a profile in somebody you might call an archon or a djinn, as you would say, Issa, you look at these people in charge of Planned Parenthood. You've got some very strange-looking, very cold...
calloused people, yeah.
Cold-spirited. They're literally murderous, but they're murderous, but they can't feel it. We equate murder with some kind of a passion act, but it's not. But these people are scientific. They're mad. They're not of us.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys know my
They're culling the herd.
The cull and the herd, exactly. No, that's right. The cull and the herd. I mean, because we got to think about the origins. I think we touched on this once before. I think we need to really do some really digging on this, Cal. But, I mean, Planned Parenthood really was founded for the eradication of the black race in this country. I mean, because it was, the mission statement said that, predominantly where they were, where they set up shop was in predominantly black neighborhoods. I mean, it was specific for that to keep, only way to control people. I think we got 10 minutes left. Everybody's listening to a Muslim and a Catholic Wake Up in America with our guest, Zen Gardner. You're slow, Cal. Loki is bringing in our idiot of the week. I'm going to be nice to him, even though he was very mean to me in the chat here, in the private chat room. I'm going to be nice to him because, see, I'm not a vindictive kind of guy.
You're a consummate professional.
And because my bow tie is absolutely stunning. Okay?
Well, instead of an idiot of the week, in honor of your wonderful bow tie, I'm going to actually bring some humor to it, especially since we're kind of ending the show on...
Why do you have to feed to his ego? Why?
Stop it. Cal, don't be jealous.
You know I love you more, Cal.
Well, yeah, he loves
you, all right.
So we're going to have a little bit of we're going to have a little bit of fun. Baker Lake, Washington. When state Fish and Wildlife agencies found a black bear passed out on the lawn of the Baker Lake Resort, there were some clues scattered nearby, dozens of empty cans of Rainier beer. The bear apparently got into the camper's cooler and used his claws to puncture the cans, and not just any cans. He drank the Rainier beer, but wouldn't drink the Bush beer, said Lisa.
Yes! Brock Smart Bear!
At the campground and the cabins resort east of Mount Baker. Fish and Wildlife Enforcement Sergeant Bill Heineck said the bear did try one can of Bush, but ignored the rest. The beast then consumed about 36 cans of Rainier beer.
That is a smart bear.
He's a very smart bear. Wildlife agents tried to chase the bear from the campground, but the animal climbed a tree to sleep it off for another 4 hours. Agents finally herded the bear away, but it returned the next morning.
Okay. I'm picturing Keystone Cops and a bear in my head right now, A drunk bear and the Keystone Cops.
isn't there a Keystone beer?
Yes, there is, and that's worse than Bush. But
But the agents used a very large humane trap to capture and relocate the bear by baiting the trap with the usual donuts, honey, and, of course, in this case, two open cans of Rainier beer.
Well, they did him a favor. He was out of beer there, and the old saying is, out of beer, out of here.
Exactly. So there is your fun fact of the week.
I thought you were going to go with the guy in Florida who had sex with an alligator.
You know, hold on. There are actual signs up down there. And my son used to ask me, and I posted this on Facebook. He posted a picture a while back. There are signs up in Florida that say, do not molest the alligators. There are posted signs in parks. No joke.
Could they mean molest as far as in like a Bart Simpson poke them in the eye with a stick?
Dude, what story just came up in the news?
Okay, all right, all right.
Okay, okay. Right. And see, I posted on Facebook. Now you know why the signs are there.
Okay, that actually makes sense. Thank you. But this bear, was he on his way to an AA meeting or something?
He could have been. Yeah. But I just want to point out one thing to clarify things for you, Issa. There's not many sheep in Florida, so
people are the sheep business. It makes sense. Okay. The alligator eat the sheep, so they say, Alice, stop keeping them. And then all of a sudden, your son and son-in-law, you're like, that alligator, That leathery skin, that sure looked good to me. I'm going to have these French fry taters and a little go on that galliard's back end.
Issa, in the man's defense, have you ever been on the beaches in southern Florida? There are a lot of leather skins walking around down there.
This is true. I have seen them in Miami. They're all a bit leathery. So you probably just got mistaken and thought it was an old Jewish woman from New York was like, yeah, I'm down here because of my bursitis, sir.
might be reptilians coming out in the sun, you know.
Oh, that's true.
You know, in Clearwater, we actually used to call them leatherbacks.
Yeah. Well, because, you know, they call Florida the fifth borough of New York, you know, because it's amazing. The first time I ever went there, I heard more New Yorkers there than I heard Floridians, to be honest with you, in Fort Lauderdale, Boca Raton, you know. That's because a lot of the Jewish, you know, people from Brooklyn and Bronx and Jamaica, Queens, they all come down there to retire, and then they sit out there in the suns because it's good for their bronchitis and their brishigamagan. I digress. So anyways, where's our outro music? Come on, let's play your little Irish jig.
I wasn't ready to end yet.
It's 5 minutes. Play the Irish jig take away your burlap sack, peanut butter, and badgers.
I don't want to end the show. I'm having
fun. I know. We'll have Zen back again, I promise. You've been a good boy tonight.
Okay.
All right. Now, next week, Cal, I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to let you do that, okay? You want to keep it a surprise? We don't want to keep it a surprise. We want to announce it. No, we want to... Loki, shut up.
Okay, hold on.
Cal?
No, you guys are going to have to come to our website because we have an extremely special guest coming next week.
Yes.
One that... Loki, I love you so much for following up on this. It was a guy... It was a person. I'm just going to put it that way. It was a person that I've been wanting to get for a while. And Loki did all the footwork and badgering him and stalking him.
With peanut butter.
and they finally agreed to come on our show. This person is going to blow everyone's mind. He is a YouTube phenom. And he is a political activist. I already gave part of it away.
Well, that's okay. That's it. The speed.
I'm just going to leave it there. Pay
there
attention to our Facebook. Wake Up America.
That's right.
Pay attention to our website, www.wakeupinamerica.com.
And Zen, come on.
Yeah.
Say good night to our guest, buddy.
Sure. This is the end
Zen,
you want to be a wise guy, huh?
Do you have any parting words of wisdom for our guests?
I'm a New Yorker. I know how to hack it around a little bit.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, then.
Hey, thanks, guys. Great
I'm coming down there.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for coming on.
People, man. Keep going.
Thank you,
we
Zen.
We do what we can do when we can do it.
Yeah. Or when Issa lets us.
Yeah, or when Cal allows me to get out of the back of the bus. So, everybody, thanks for listening in tonight. I really want to give a special thanks to Zen. Zen, you brought a smile upon Cal, this grumpy old man that I do this show with. You brought a smile upon his face. I want to thank all our listeners, especially those that are chatting with us, and just to name a few so their feelings don't get hurt. Caleb, Akasha, Tim, thank you guys for listening in tonight and chatting with us. And busting my chops because it keeps me honest, keeps me humble.
Because
I know
how
intelligent I am and how good I am and how great I am at everything I touch and do. But, I can be a little egotistical. So, you guys. Also, Uncle BB, I want to thank you for calling in tonight. We appreciate that. You're welcome to call in anytime, you angry Jew. We love you guys. So, please, Uncle BB, call in again. You control us anytime. All right? Join us next week. Hey, between now and then, join us on our Facebook page. Join us on our website. Chit-chat with us. Talk with us, all right?
60 seconds.
Loki's giving me the finger right now. It's not very nice. Again, thanks to our guests. Then tune in for what we got coming up next week. Cal finally got his own guest on it. I don't have to do all the work for the show. Cal actually put some work in. I'm so proud of him.
As we've said before, you've been in the political circles for a long time.
Yes,
I was just a guy screaming from the bleachers, you know what
I'm
saying?
That's right.
I don't have the connections. So,
hey, Real quick, go on our website, go to the video. I've had some great debates. If you want to see me in serious mode and debate some people we've talked about on our show, go to the video section, scroll all the way to the bottom. Got some good videos. I'll be on there again tomorrow night. So this week I should have another good debate if you like my serious side instead of my serious side.
People don't even want to see your commie side. I mean,
silly side.
10 seconds.
If you like my serious side and my silly side, if you like me, period, check us out, all right, guys? And Cal, we're going to get him out there, too. Try to. Nobody but us likes him.
Everybody loves me. I'm a personable person.
Personable person.
Thank you all for listening. We love you all, and good night.
And now the bow tie comes off.